yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. Psalm 139:14. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. Psalm 119:73. Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Psalm 119:73. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. And Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30:5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 17:17. The rapture has not occurred, and I have not disappeared. I just lost some of my transparencies, and I picked them up. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Oftentimes people are not aware of the fact that we have service from 9:30 to about 10:30. Then we have a break, and we go back to the fellowship hall for a little time of fellowship, and then we come back in here for another service. We've had people to come to the first service and then go home because they didn't know that we had a break, fellowship, and another service. So if you're busy with us today, I want to make that announcement for you. We certainly would like for you to go to our break with us, enjoy the fellowship, come back in here, and let's deal with the subject of Oh Daddy at 100. Oh Daddy at 100. If you want to look at that, that really emphasizes capacity for life. And that, of course, is an emphasis upon what God did for Abram, who became Abraham. Now, this morning, I've asked you to turn to Genesis chapter 17. Our verse is verse 17, and we will be looking at a number of verses today and going down to verse 17. Before we begin our study, let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, we're grateful for this time of fellowship with your word and the opportunity now to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths. We pray that we will have open minds and open hearts to what you have for us. Be aware of the fact that you promised us in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us, but that you would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. We're thankful for that. We pray that in these moments now that we're studying, that we will realize how powerful your word is and how magnificent and wonderful your comfort is when our hearts are heavy and bereaved. Bless these moments of study today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the last verse, it says, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. That's 86 years of age. When you go into the next chapter, which is our chapter now, Genesis 17, it begins like this. Now, when Abram was 99 years. So in between the last verse of the last chapter that I've just referred to, chapter 16, and the first verse of chapter 17, there's an emphasis upon 13 silent years. We do not know what all took place in Abram's life during that time, but I believe that there were some interesting things that did take place. I believe that Abram advanced spiritually, even though there were times when Abram had some ups and downs in life, just like all of us have ups and downs in life. We're going to begin reading now, and you follow along, please. When he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. Verse 7 to verse 17, And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Now we're in verse 12 of chapter 17. Every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. I'll interrupt myself to tell you that last Wednesday night we dealt with the subject using these verses 9 through 14, the subject of circumcision. Now verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Now our verse today. Verse 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? I don't know whether you want to do this, but you can put your finger on that verse and hold it there, because that's the key verse for today. But while you're looking at that, glance over into the next chapter, verse 14. Well, actually, let's look back at verse 10. Of chapter 18. I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door. This just lets me know that women are a little bit on the curious side. Did you notice how kind and nice I am to you ladies? I can just see it now. Her ear was up against the side of the tent. I mean, she was listening at the tent door, it says here. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. If you don't know what old is, just know that it says advanced in age. I don't know how old you are, but I'm telling you that tomorrow you're going to be one day older than you are today. Isn't that profound? You didn't know that you had such a profound minister. Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Now notice, if you will, please, verse 12. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure of my Lord being old also? Then she said, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Laughing is an interesting thing that all of us enjoy doing. I noticed here today that we've laughed. You perhaps are aware of the fact that over the years I've collected a lot of information. One of the things that I found about 25, 27 years ago was a subject in what was then known as the Houston Post. There's no longer a Houston Post, I understand. There's a Houston Chronicle. But in the Houston Post 27 years ago, I saw an article that it was entitled Laughing. And it says it's a laugh a minute. Laughter, that is, it can change your life, make you well, improve your marriage, put some zip into those dreadfully dull days. If you don't believe that, you just ask Houstonians Bruce Williamson. He's a laughter and play consultant who specializes in mirth therapy. Can you believe that there's such a thing, or was then, probably still today, as mirth therapy? It says a year ago, Williamson went to a conference. He learned some things. He realized the importance of laughter. He said he learned about the healing power of laughter, how a good belly laugh can do wonders for your mind. It can do wonders for your body, and it can even help your spirit. So what he did, he came to Houston and he got together, and I thought this was quite unique. He got together some doctors and psychiatrists and lawyers, and they had a laughing party. Have you ever noticed, if you've ever been to a memorial service, oftentimes the minister will tell something funny about the individual that they're honoring, and people laugh. They're quick to laugh. I believe that it is important for us in life to laugh. There are many things about which to laugh. A man was walking one day on the beach. It seemed that he was in the midst of praying and thinking, and the Lord seemed to speak to him and say, what would you like to have? And he said, you know what I'd like to have? I'd like to have a bridge all the way over to Honolulu. The Lord looked down at him rather strangely and said, now listen, that's quite a materialistic wish. I'm afraid that it would take a tremendous amount of natural resources. Do you have another wish? And this guy said, oh, well, yes, I think I do have another wish. I'd like to know how to really understand my wife. Know how she feels, the things she wants, and why I can figure out what she really means in her silent moments. The Lord thought about that for a moment and he said, you want two lanes or four lanes on that bridge to Honolulu? Laughter's good for us. I'm always amazed at what children do. A kindergarten teacher gave her class an opportunity to show and tell. And so the little students got up and they were going to show and tell. Each student was instructed to bring an object to share with the class and what represented their particular religion. The first student got up to the class and he said, my name is Benjamin. I'm a Jewish, and this is the Star of David. The second student got up in front of the class and she said, my name is Mary.
I'm a Catholic, and this is a rosary. The third student got up, and he says, my name is Tommy. I'm a Baptist, and this is a casserole. We're talking about laughter. After losing in a breaststroke swimming competition, the person complained that the other swimmers were using their arms. Two blondes are trying to get into their car using a coat hanger when one of them says, hurry, hurry, it's starting to rain and the top is down. Now that's a time joke. You can laugh anytime you want to, but please do it now rather than after I get into the rest of my message. Well, I'm always finding things. And since this is the time that I felt like it was good to do this, if you can't see this, that's okay. But this is the Tate family. The Tate family. And the question is, how many Tates do we have in our church? There's the old man, Dick Tate, who wants to run everything. If you can't see that, the first line is Dick Tate. While Uncle Rotate tries to change everything. The second word there is rotate. There's Sister Agitate, who stirs up plenty of trouble. With the help from her husband, Irritate. Whenever new projects are suggested, Hesitate and his wife, Vegetate, want to wait until next year. Then there is Aunt Imitate, who wants our church to be like all the others. Devastate provides the voice of doom, while Potentate wants to be a big shot. But not all members of the family are bad. Brother Facilitate is quite helpful in the church matters. And a delightful, happy member of the family is Miss Felicitate. Cousins Cogitate and Meditate always think things over and lend helpful, steady hands. And of course, there is the black sheep of the family, Amputate, who has completely cut himself off from the church. How about it? Do you know anyone in our church that may be a member of the Tate family? If you do, please don't share it with me at all. When I think in terms of the word laughter that is used two times in the verses that I read to you today, this verse 17 says, Abram fell on his face and laughed. When we saw Sarah leaning against the tent door, hearing the announcement that she, at the age of 90, is going to conceive and have a baby, she laughs. The word laugh is an interesting word found in God's Word. The word laugh or laughter is used many times in the Bible. Sometimes it is used in a good sense, expressing genuine happiness, and sometimes it is used in derision, scorn, and ridicule. It is God's people, it is God's plan for God's people to have stability of soul, to be able to relax, to enjoy life to the fullest, and have the ability to laugh in the midst of various troubles and difficulties. What I found out about Johnny was that as we talked about the homegoing of Judy, and we talked about how beautiful it was that God, in His grace, saw fit to take her so rapidly, though that came as a shock, of course, to him and to all of us, he was able to laugh with me about that. How fantastic. What would be a good definition of the word laugh or laughter? If you look this word up in the American College Dictionary, here's what it is. To express mirth, amusement, even derision, or explosive inarticulate sound of the voice, facial expressions, to experience an emotion so expressed, to utter a cry or a sound resembling the laughing of human beings as some animals do. Have you ever seen that little boy on television laughing? And the more he laughs, after a while you begin to laugh also. Laughter is used to convey mirth, satisfaction, derision, by facial expressions, it says, and explosive or chuckling sounds from the throat. Now, we're not going to practice this today, but when we go to the break, if any of you laugh, notice how different people laugh. It's amazing to me how different people laugh. Laughing is technically a mode of expressing something from the inside. Oftentimes it comes in short jerks, explosive air from the diaphragm, producing a succession of short, abrupt sounds, accompanied by certain movements of the muscles of the face and often parts of the body. Have you ever laughed until you cried? Sure. So there are synonyms for laughter. Cackle, hee-haw, roar, giggle, snigger, snickle, chuckle. I knew you'd want to hear all these words for laughter. There's even a silent laughter, a laughter in the eyes, no vocalization. Some people laugh with their eyes. We look at them and we can see joy manifested through their eyes. They light up, actually no sounds. Laughter can be described as noise, excited by humor or sudden pleasure. The Bible teaches us that there's a laughter that is negative, and there's a laughter that is positive. The Bible presents laughter as both the expression of maturity and the expression of immaturity. I believe in Genesis 17:17 that the laughter of Abram, whose name is changed to Abraham, and Sarah, whose name is changed to Sarah, I believe that their laughter is a laughter of capacity for life. Laughter triggers healthy physical changes in the body, I'm told. Humor and laughter strengthens, I'm told, your immune system, boosts your energy, diminishes pain, protects you from damaging effects of stress. Someone said that they had such pain that they could watch a little movie that was a fun movie. And they could watch it for about 10 minutes. And as a result of laughing for 10 minutes, they could be relieved of their arthritic pain for about an hour. Because they laughed. Laughter relaxes the whole body, we're told. A good, hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed, we're told, up to 45 minutes. Laughter boosts the immune system. Laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells and infection, fighting antibiotics, thus improving your resistance to disease. I don't know how far you can carry any of this, but I'm telling you that I believe it's good to laugh. I believe God wants us to laugh. It doesn't hurt for us to cry. It is good for us to cry. When we go through an experience like which Johnny is going now, and all of us, it's okay to cry. There's nothing wrong with grieving. With all of the joy and the peace and the happiness that we have when a loved one goes to heaven, how fantastic. We can't help but laugh about that. And at the same time, it's normal for us to grieve. We're told that laughter triggers the release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. Endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being. And so I want you to know that I'm going to be with Johnny in these coming days. The memorial service is Wednesday. And between now and then, we'll probably do some crying together, but we're going to do some laughing together. Because we're happy and thankful, though we'll miss Judy. Laughter protects the heart. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against heart difficulty. Well, so much for that. I want you now, in these moments left, so let me look with you at this verse of Scripture. I'm going to turn this off because you've had long enough to look at that. I want to give you 10 points, and the 10th point will get us ready for the next session. When I look at Genesis 17, 17, I notice, first of all, it says, Abraham fell on his face. A beautiful, beautiful manifestation of humility. A magnificent thought that's given to us here, that he has advanced. He's been told in the first verses of this chapter to maintain spiritual balance. Would you glance back at it? I am God Almighty, notice in verse 1. Walk before me and be blameless. That be blameless in the original language is actually emphasizing the maintaining of balance. I'm here to tell you this morning, and I believe you believe this, that God desires that you and I have spiritual balance. And we're not going to have spiritual balance unless we see from God's vantage point, unless we see vertically, not horizontally. There are a lot of people living in this world who are seeing events and circumstances only from a horizontal viewpoint. They're looking at things from a human viewpoint. When death comes, they look at it from a human viewpoint. When illness comes, they look at it from a human viewpoint. When there's a car accident, they look at it from a human viewpoint. When there's some difficulty at the house, they look at it from a human viewpoint. All of us are tempted to look at things from a human viewpoint. But I promise you what God is saying to Abraham here, maintain your balance. Be looking at things from a vertical viewpoint, God's viewpoint. And if you look at things from a God vantage point, when you come to difficulties and burdens and death and sorrow, you're going to be able, even in the midst of that, to laugh. Isn't that wonderful? So number one, God's word in the life of Abram became more real to him than all of his daily problems. Could I stop you for a moment and tell you that I know enough about you folks, even though I don't even know all of you, that you've had some daily problems. You've had some burdens along the way. You've had some illness. I've known many of you for many, many years and walked with you through some difficult days. It hasn't all been easy. I know that. I've been by your side in times of sorrow. I've been by your side in times of joy. I've been at the hospital when your loved ones have been ill. I've been at the hospital when little babies are born. And I've rejoiced with you. So you see, I've been with you in times of joy and I've been with you in times of sorrow. And I want you to know that no matter what the circumstances are, our Heavenly Father has said, just remember this. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even into the end of the world. So God's word then, point one, lets us know that Abram became to the spiritual balance point in his life where the Lord was more real to him than his problems. Now, perhaps I ought to just stay right here until the break because of the fact that this is one of the most important points that I could give you. Is the Lord more important to us than our problems? Well, I have to tell you that the past weeks and months have not always been that easy for me. And yet I'm thankful as I look back over these past weeks and months to see that God was there and He brought things out better than I thought maybe they could be brought out. Now, you don't need to know any more than that. I know some of you folks are very nosy, and that's okay. You'd like to have the next page. You'd like to know what the next chapter is. And sometimes I share too much with you because I've been with you for so many years. And some of you may say, well, we really didn't know that. We really didn't want to know that much about it. But that's okay. What I realize about our church family is, and I thought about this in relationship to this particular day, that we have an intimacy here that's so wonderful. And that is when someone suffers, in essence, all of us kind of share that suffering. When someone is in sorrow, we all, in essence, share in that suffering and that sorrow. So we discover that Abram came to a point when his spiritual balance was more real to him than the problems of life. Is that true of us? Number two, he learned not to be perplexed. He learned not to be worried. He learned not to be afraid. You ought to take some of these points down. They're good for you. He learned not to be perplexed. He learned not to be worried. He learned not to be afraid. The third thing that I see here is it really dawned on him that God had the power to do anything. Have you ever discovered that? That God has the power of doing anything? Now, you have to understand some things right here. I understand that this took place in a Southern Baptist church. They were having a revival. And the preacher said, would any of you like for us to pray for you? And the young man raised his hand. And he said, come on up, let me pray for you. The young man said, I'd like for you to pray for my hearing. And so the preacher prayed for him. And then after he prayed, he said, you feel any better? Oh, he said, I don't know. The hearing is not until this coming Wednesday. You notice what I did for you? I helped you laugh. Did you notice how spontaneous you laughed? Right in the middle of a serious message, you heard something that made you cackle, laugh, and you all laughed differently. I was trying to pay attention to how you laughed. It really dawned on Abram that God could do anything at any time he desired to do it. Isn't that fantastic? Well, number four, Abraham began to understand the difference between God's character and his identification. Now, I want to explain that because some of you missed a session or two back. If I called you by your first name, that doesn't say a whole lot about you. It identifies you, but it doesn't say a whole lot about you. That's identification. Character is something different. Character is what you and I really are. Abram came to a point where when God said, I am God Almighty, it was not just identification. It was an emphasis upon God's character. I just want to cry here because I'm beginning to see more and more the older I am and the longer I live and the more I preach, the more I'm realizing how great God's character is. Do you realize that? Someone said you don't really know how to live until you get old. Well, one of these days, 15 or 20 or 30 years from now, I'm going to be at that point. Wow. You folks think you're going to get rid of me? I've had volunteers to say, if you die in the pulpit, I'll carry you out. Well, thanks. One time I said the deacons could carry me out. When I got through the service, a man volunteered. After the service, he said, the deacons don't have to carry you out. I'll help carry you out. Thanks, Bob. Would you stand up, please? I appreciate you. There he is. He volunteered to carry me out. Now, you see, you laughed again. You're laughing not at me, you're laughing at Bob. I am God Almighty, the Scripture says. Walk before me and continue to maintain your spiritual balance. One more point. I've got 10 points, but I want to give you the fifth one and then we'll go to the break. Right here we see he took his eyes off of himself. He took his eyes off of his problems. He took his eyes off of man-made solutions and on to the source. What a powerful thought that is. If we could come to the point in our lives where we can take our eyes off of ourselves, we can take our eyes off of our problems and burdens and troubles and difficulties, and we can take our eyes off of man-made solutions and put our eyes on the source, then we're okay. And I'm okay because it's 10:32 and I've only gone 2 minutes over. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Thank you, Father, for the joy and the peace and happiness that we have because of the fact that you've given us the assurance that we can have this contentment, this joy, this happiness in our souls. It is not because of us. It is because of what you've done and are doing for us. And not only because of what you have done and are doing, but what you will do for us in the future. We sit in this auditorium today, not even aware of the fact that we may not even be here. We may be in heaven a few days from now, a few months from now, a few years from now. We do not know. This is not our home. This earth is not our home. This is just a journeying place. We're foreigners here. Our home is in heaven with our Lord. So while we're here, help us to keep our priorities straight. Help us to keep our focus clear. And for those who hear this message by way of the internet, who've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that those individuals will see that when God loved, He loved the world. That when Christ died, He died for everyone. And that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ brings salvation. Knowing that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Bless us, we pray, as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.